You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. I'm Richard Justice of MLB.com, and I'm joined by Alvin Gonzalez, who covers the Angels for MLB.com. And
Alvin, welcome. A couple of questions, and the Angels have so few of them, it's hard to find questions. But what do you think the confidence level is from Mike Socia, Jerry DePoto, et cetera, that C.J. Wilson can still pitch at a high level in the big leagues? How much faith have they lost in this guy?
Well, you know, Richard, I thought initially you were going to ask me how much confidence C.J. Wilson has in himself, and the answer to that, he has
a small amount
of confidence. That's never an issue with him and his abilities. But I think, I mean, this may sound a little short-sighted, but I feel like Game 3 of the Division Series was pretty telling. Number one was the fact that they rushed Matt Shoemaker back to pitch Game 2 because they didn't really have much confidence in C.J. Wilson pitching Game 2, which meant he would have pitched twice in that series. And then the fact that C.J. Wilson gets into a little bit of trouble in the first inning, he gives up that base-clearing triple to Alex Gordon, I believe it was, and they take him right out of the game, and they go with a bullpen game when they're facing elimination. I think that was very telling on where they stand in their confidence with C.J. Wilson. Now, having said that, that was in the midst of his worst season ever as a starting pitcher, a season when he had his highest walk rate since 2008, and a season where he just kind of fell into some sort of downward spiral in the second half. He missed some time with an ankle injury. And, you know, sometimes C.J. gets into these phases where he wants to do so much to make adjustments to get it right. And sometimes, and we've talked about this before, he has the ability to kind of over-tinker. He's never going to be a guy who simplifies things out there. He works really, really hard. And sometimes he just gets lost within himself of just trying to continually make these adjustments. The thing I'll say with C.J. is he's always been a guy who has great stuff, but he's also always been a guy who kind of toes the line with a very high walk rate. Anytime you're a starting pitcher who's walking guys, you're going to be prone to seasons like that. But you got to have confidence in C.J. because the first 2 years that he was with the Angels, he was really good. He had a bad second half in 2012, but it was a good year. 2013, he was really good pole-to-pole. And the one thing that they really liked in C.J. when they initially sought him out in free agency was he's durable. He's going to come into camp in shape. He's never really had any arm injuries. You could pretty much count on him for 28 to 33 starts any given year. I think that in itself says a lot. We'll see if he can figure it out to be a top-of-the-rotation starter, which they kind of need given all the questions in their rotation this year. But the fact that he's going to be out there every fifth day, and you can pretty much count on that, I think that in itself is very valuable.
Yeah, and you know, you and I know the guy well enough to know that start in the division series is going to stay with him the whole offseason. It's going to drive him. You know, I mean, if physically he's capable of doing it, again, he does overthink it at times. I wouldn't be surprised if the guy came back and had a terrific season, you know, but you got to do it. You know, I mean, and I'm sure he's at the point where there's a lot of frustration on his part. I was going to ask you about Garrett Richards. Do you think his success last year was as simple, or not as simple, but part of it was, I'm going to be out there every fifth day. I'm no more going back and forth to bullpen. I know what my routine is. Do you think how much did that contribute to his breakthrough?
You know what, Richard, and I'm glad you touched on this, because if you talk to Garrett and if you talk to Mike Butcher and even if you talk to Mike Socia about it, they'll point to that as the reason why Garrett Richards had so much success. It sounds so simplistic, but yeah, it really is true, because, you know, 2012, 2013 was really hard on a young guy like Garrett who's still trying to figure it out, because he kept getting shuttled back and forth between AAA and Major League. He kept moving back and forth from the rotation, the bullpen. And they were still trying to figure out if he was going to be that kind of lights-out back end of the bullpen reliever, or he was going to be the guy to take his turn every fifth day. Finally, down the stretch in 2013, the Angels are out of it. Joe Bland is no longer worthy of remaining in the rotation. Garrett Richards takes his place. And he gets this sort of 15-start sample size where he really starts figuring things out. And at that point, he kind of won a spot in the rotation. for the following season. And just coming into camp, knowing, okay, this is my role, I'm going to be in the rotation, and just moving throughout the course of the season and building that five-day routine in the big leagues like he's never had, and knowing he's going to take his turn every fifth day, I think did wonders for his confidence, and I think it did wonders for his success overall. I think the most surprising thing about Garrett last year was that his fastball velocity jumped. He's always had – he had a huge arm coming out of Oklahoma. He's always had that fastball. But in the major leagues, he was 92, 93 for the most part when he was starting games. Last year, he was about 96, 97. He had the second highest average fastball velocity among starters. Only Yordano Ventura threw harder than him. And he said that it was because he was on that five-day routine, because now he knew when to get his lifts in, when to do his band work. And he felt like throughout the course of the entire year, his arm just got stronger. And, I mean, he showed so much last year. I mean, nobody could really touch him. Nobody could hit home runs off him. I think he had the lowest home run rate in baseball. And, you know, it was such a shame to see him go down with that knee injury. And, you know, as young as he is, it's still going to be a big question mark for him to bounce back, because there aren't many starting pitchers who have really recovered or actually really suffered an injury to their landing legs like that. And, you know, this Angels rotation, I feel like, can be on two complete ends of the spectrum. They could be really, really good, or they could be really, really bad, and that's because they have questions throughout. Jared Weaver, strikeout-to-walk ratio continues to drop. He's getting a little bit older. Fastball velocity continues to drop. C.J. Wilson, coming off a down year. Garrett Richards, coming off knee surgery. Matt Shoemaker, people aren't really sure he's going to be able to duplicate what he did last year. And then the fifth part of the rotation is Andrew Heaney, Nick Tropiano, two young guys, and Hector Santiago, a guy who just walks a lot of hitters. I mean, there's a potential for this rotation to be very good. There's also a potential for this rotation to have a lot of holes.
Yeah, and there's a potential for to come to spring training and establish some depth. You know, if Haney and Santiago and Tropiano all pitch well, it's amazing. That's the landscape of baseball right now. But going into spring training, are they settled on a Rutledge-Green competition at second, or is Rutledge the starter going in place of with Howie Kendrick now gone?
I think it's I would lean toward Rutledge getting most of the playing time there. They like him. They feel like he's proven himself in the big leagues when he's had to kind of fill in for Troy Tulowitzki at shortstop and had these sustained stretches in the big leagues. They feel like he's proven that he's capable. But there's going to be an open competition. It's going to be Rutledge, it's going to be Grant Green, it's going to be Johnny Giovatella, who doesn't have options. It's going to be Taylor Featherstone, who they got in the Rule 5 draft, mainly to be the utility guy, but he's going to compete for a spot there too. And, you know, the one thing that I heard after they traded Howie Kendrick was that, you know, the Angels don't really expect to have one guy accumulate 600 plate appearances at second base the way Howie did. They're trying to supplement that by trading for Matt Joyce, who gives them that lefty presence in their lineup, who maybe lengthens their lineup a little bit more, and they're just going to have a collection of guys at second base. Second base is a very deep position organizationally. They have Alex Yarbrough, Wayne Wings, maybe even Roberto Baldacquin could play it one day. But I think for this season, they're just going to try to maybe look for some platoon advantages, ride the hot bat. I don't think we're going to see one guy play second base the whole year.
The other guy, a guy we were talking about a lot a year ago, is Tyler Skaggs, young left-hander, now 23 years old. His Tommy John surgery in early August. Are the Angels saying no Tyler Skaggs in 2015, that we'll just see you in spring training in 2016? Is that
That's exactly what they're doing. The day he had the surgery, that's what they said. We'll look for Tyler Skaggs to be back in 2016. Some of us kind of rolled our eyes like, wait a minute. He had it in early August of 2014. What do you mean 2016? And, you know, it's the logical thing to do. He was 22 years old when he had the surgery. They don't even want to put trying to rush back to get back on the mound and pitch down the stretch in 2015 in his mind. 2015 for Tyler Skaggs, and I talked to him a little bit before Christmas, it's just going to be a rehab year for him. It's going to be really tough on him to be in spring training, to be around the team. He wants to be around the team the entire year and just watch these guys play and him not be able to do anything at all. You know, I wouldn't rule out him maybe throwing some bullpen sessions around maybe September, maybe even getting some innings in the instructional league or something like that, just so that he goes into the offseason with a little bit of confidence. But they're completely ruling him out for 2015, and that's why they continued to add depth in the rotation, Richard, as we've talked about on this podcast before. And look, they're going to be I know this is a little bit down the road now, but if you look ahead to 2016, they're going to have some nice young pitchers. And again, Tommy John surgery has a really good track record of recovery. They're going to have Tyler Skaggs. They're going to have Garrett Richards, Matt Shoemaker, Nick Tropiano, Andrew Heaney, Hector Santiago, in addition to Jerry Weaver and T.J. Wilson, who will be going into their final contract years. That's a good collection of controllable arms, especially for a team that, you know, has had the worst-ranked farm system in baseball the last 2 years.
You know, a week ago, you had just written a story that the Angels just needed to go out and get a young, controllable third baseman, and this is why you're so good. A day later, they go out and get Kyle Kubica from the Big Texan, from the Braves. Now,
I should have played the lottery that day, Richard.
Yeah, you should have played the lottery that day. So he popped out of Double A. Everybody loves him. He's penciled in to play what, Triple A this year, and then be there if there's an injury.
Yeah, he's going to start the season Triple A, I believe. I'd be pretty surprised if he warrants a September call up. They feel like he's that close. And then the plan for him, and again, these plans tend to go haywire every once in a while. It happened with Caleb Cowart and the Angels, who have not had very good success with third base prospects. But the plan for Kubica is to take over at third base after David Freese hits free agency. And that's what that signing was all about. You know, they're trying to, and as we talked about on the last podcast, they're trying to win now while also have that sustainable winning and extend their window a little bit more. And they just didn't have, just like the Baldo Queen signing was all about getting a middle infielder in their system, the trade for Kubica, where, you know, they gave up a really nice pitching prospect of Ricardo Sanchez, was all about getting that player in their system who's ready to play third base. Caleb Cowart has struggled really, really bad in Double A the last 2 years. He used to be the number one prospect by far. He's not that anymore. They needed to look somewhere else, and they feel like they have the guy in Kubica. He's not one of the premier high ceiling prospects, but, you know, I think one of the directions that we've seen the Angels go, and this was especially the case in signing Roberto Baldacquin. To them, it's not so much important that you have a high ceiling. What's important to them is that you have a high floor, meaning that the chances that you're a total bust and you can't hack it in the big leagues is kind of very slim. They prefer to take those safe players because, you know, with a farm system that doesn't have much talent and a payroll that has a lot of money committed to just a handful of players, they need players who are going to come up and have the best chance possible to succeed in the big leagues.
Yeah, That's the interesting way you put it. It's not the ceiling they care about, it's the floor.
Yeah.
All right, Alvin, I appreciate it very much. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.